I will give you the time. Trust me. Trust me. Okay? So with that sense then, that I realized that I want to see time in that sense. Okay? And so we do. We kairos, and we realize that. And so realize that God is eternal. I see life through an eternal perspective. Time is short. I want to see time in terms of opportunities in which to serve people, beginning with my own precious wife, my family, those around me, and then extending out from there. Number three, a sin is serious. Sin is serious. Notice in verse 7, he says, "We are consumed by your anger," Moses said. The word "consumed" there is the word that means to be utterly finished, depleted, laid bare. Everything, I'm stripped bare. I've got nothing to hide. I can't hide anything. Lord, you see it all. Help us to understand. Help our people to understand that sin, little sins, are big sins to God. There's no little sin to God. It's all big sins to God. It is serious stuff with God. And therefore, he said, "Lord, we're terrified by your indignation. We're consumed by your anger." And you think of, and then I think of Hebrews chapter 12, 29, which says, our God is consuming fire. Our God sings over us, but if I'm unrepentant in my sin, then God is a fearsome one to come into his presence, because he is a consuming fire, ready to burn out and get rid of that impurity in our hearts. He says, "You have set our sins, iniquities before you," he said. "Our secret sins in the light of your presence." In verse 8, our secret sins. So you can imagine the laser light of God. Imagine the picture of Jesus in Revelation chapter 1, where John fell down as though dead. The piercing eyes of Jesus that could see right through him and see right through anyone and anything. That's the laser vision of God that opens us up and says, okay, as I heard somebody say, we need to do surgery on ourselves. And realize, why was I so impatient there? Why was I so upset there? Why was I so anxious and stressed out about that? Oh, Lord, I'm guilty of doubt. I'm guilty of sin. I'm guilty of whatever. Oh, Lord, forgive my sin. Remember, some of us anyway, remember back when the space shuttle blew up in 1986, right? And during that time, there was a little, they did an investigation, and a little O-ring seal there was a number of these on the spacecraft, and the engineers apparently said that even though if the temperatures got close to freezing, they could break, but they didn't think that that would happen. And so they dismissed it, and they allowed the launch to go anyway. And the whole thing blew up, right? So it was a disaster in terms of human lives, in terms of, you know, hundreds of millions or billions of dollars, all because we think a little thing is only a little thing, but to God, a little thing becomes a big thing. You remember when David sinned against Bathsheba and Uriah? You realize that in David's life, it took a period of time when David would let little things happen in his life. He didn't deal with them until finally the so-called big sins happened. And then he had to face the consequences for a sin. Even though God forgave him, there were still consequences for it. The seriousness of our sin. We need to realize that we need to be right with God. So keep short accounts with God. And then verses 10 to 12, we have a fourth discipline, a fourth thing, a fourth reality, and that is discipline is necessary. The length of our days is 70 years, or 80 if we have the strength. It could be some people live a little longer, but that's still true, isn't it, today? But what is 70 years? Is that 25,000 days? Well, I think of it in those terms. Wow, that doesn't seem like very long. And if I keep that in mind, Lord, I don't want it to make me uptight. I want it to motivate me to be disciplined, right? Paul said to Timothy, 1 Timothy 1:7, you know, the gift of God is not, you know, not fear, timidity, but power, love, and a sound mind, or a disciplined mind, right? A fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, love, joy, peace, patience. And what's one of the fruit of the Spirit? Self, what? What is it? Say it loud. Self-control, right? Which is discipline, right? Paul says to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 9, 24, 27, he said, you know, and there is a group of people in the church that were guilty of sexual sin, other kinds of things going on, and they were allowing their bodies to lead their brains, their minds, and their hearts. It needs to be the opposite. And so Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6, 18 to 20, he says, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Everything you do with your body, right? Whether it's got to do with sexual sin or lust or thoughts of the mind, or whether it's got to do with even leading too much, or maybe like me, talking too much, right? Or it could be not listening. Whatever it might be, he says, I need to discipline my life. Discipline why? For two reasons. Number one, he said, because of limited time. Verse 10, the span of our lives is but trouble and sorrow. They quickly pass and we fly away. So we've got limited time. And then Moses says, because of God's wrath upon sin. You know, and he speaks about that. Who knows the power of your anger? For your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you. Right? There was a woman who actually did this with her daughter to teach her about discipline. And discipline is a good thing. It's not an easy thing, but it's important, and we reap the fruit of it if we do it. But discipline, she put three saucepans on the stove. When one she put eggs, the other one she put carrots, and another one she could put some ground coffee beans, right? And so in the first one she put eggs. She said, well, now put the pot to boiling and in the water. And when the eggs were done, the liquid yolk became hard, right? And so, and with the carrots, when the carrots were done, the hard carrots became soft, the opposite of the eggs. But when you look, she said, now look at the pot. And that to make a long story short, with the ground coffee, instead of the coffee being changed, it was the ground coffee that changed the water, its surroundings. But in the other two, the surrounding water, boiling water, changed the eggs and the carrots. You know the point. Is that you and I, if we're not going to stick with the Word of God, if we're not going to walk with God, if we get away from God, we will allow our culture to influence us, so we will blend in as bland a people with the culture. So nobody can be different except to be defensive about it, right? And think we've got to tolerate even sin. There's a difference between loving somebody and just saying, well, you can do whatever you want, regardless of the consequences, right? What does a parent do if you love your child? But my point is that we need to be disciplined in this day and age so that we can declare the Lord Jesus Christ to the people around us in the right kind of Christ-like love that says, I want to agonize with you. I want to come alongside and struggle with you, because you and I need to be willing to do that with people around us, beginning with our own family, right? And so that's what Paul is saying here, that we need to be, and then he says in verse 12, or Paul, being Moses, is saying here in verse 12, teach us to number our days. The word number there is the word really means, literally in Hebrew, it means to assign, to plan out, to assign this day a specific purpose, right? To number our days so that, you know, it's not a wrong thing to plan things, as James says, but we need to plan with God's help and let God guide us in our planning each day. And so we number our days so that, verse 12, so that every day there's a purpose to what we do. even in the little things of going to the store. I say, Lord, when I'm going to the grocery store, may there be somebody there, Lord, that you'll help me to learn from or make me a blessing to a person, right? So that kind of thing. There was a lady at the hotel we stayed at last night. I want to mention this. I hope somebody can contact her. I think God wants her to come into his family. But you know what I'm saying? So all in my life, that's I try to follow that and practice that. And then finally, prayer is essential. Prayer is essential. And so in verses 13, the Hebrew, the language here changes. Relent, O Lord. How long will it be? And Moses is getting more intense in the language, in his emotions, in his heart. And he says, he calls out to God, and he said, Lord, I'm pleading with you. I'm calling on you, not because we are so wonderful, but because of your compassionate heart, because of your unfailing love. In verse 13, he says, have compassion. The word there is the equivalent of being empathetic. Put yourself in our place, Lord, and see how we, your servants, are doing right now. Lift your heavy hand of judgment, Lord. Have compassion on us, verse 13. And then in verse 14, he says, satisfy us in the morning. Let us begin our day, he says, Lord, with what? With your unfailing love. The word unfailing love here is a Hebrew word that means covenant love. You know, I can love you with a contract love. It's just like saying I'm going to make a contract with you, but if I don't like the contract, just like some athletes do sometimes, I want to tear up the contract and so I can get more benefits. For me. It's about me. But in covenant love, it's not about me. It's about you. That's God. It's about others, putting others first, right? That's the mind of Christ, Philippians chapter 2, right? And so it's about, Lord, prayer is essential because prayer is not simply just talking to God. It is listening to God. It's struggling with God. It's encountering God, fellowshipping with God, and that's all part of prayer. But without that reality as well, we cannot experience the preference and the presence of God in a way, and the delight of God, and then to express the power of God in our everyday life. Right? So are you with me? Everybody still with me? Okay, you're with me. So I hope you understand those five things then. And you got, you know, notes. But pretend now. I was going to get a faucet. I can get a faucet. But just pretend that I'm a water faucet right now, okay? And this is a faucet, and the water is coming out. But, you know, with a water faucet, as a human being, I've got control over the water faucet, right? Other people, I think it's not a new illustration. But, and a water faucet. And so, but, the water comes out, and the water is intending, you know, for me to drink, for me to cook with, whatever, to wash. But I've got control over the water faucet. The only thing the water faucet can do is be available to me, right? In a sense, pressing the analogy a bit here, right? God wants us to be rivers, channels of his living water. Read John chapter 6, right? Those who are filled with the Holy Spirit, out of their hearts, right, will come rivers of what? Living water, right? And so we want to be channels of God's living water. But we have a choice. God has given us a choice. We could reject him. We could clog up the pipe. And God wants us to share with others in the way we live, the way we demonstrate, the way we relate with people, the way we love them, is living water. But the one thing that God wants us to do, we can't turn ourselves on. What we can do is be available to God every day, moment by moment, hour by hour, day by day, year by year. Amen? So all of us, we can say, Lord, help me, help us to be difference makers that'll bring more people into your church who'll become passionate disciples for the Lord Jesus Christ and be part of your star that shares your glory in the universe forever, right? As Daniel 12 says and Ephesians 2 says. Amen. Let me take a moment and pray with you. Would you take a moment yourself as well? Say, Lord, help me to be a difference maker for you. Father, thank you for allowing me to be here. I pray that somehow, I mean, I've shared a lot of verses, but I pray that somehow that in this psalm that you have shared what you want to share with each one of us. And Lord, all of us have different needs and different personalities, so the way this impacts each of us will differ according to what your purpose is for each of us and according to our need right now. So Lord, I pray that all of us can go out of here more motivated and determined to be difference makers for you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all the people said, amen. Thank you. God bless you.